Welcome to Postcast. The Utah Jazz get thumped in Game 1 against the Houston Rockets. The Rockets blow the Jazz out. The final score, 122-90, a game that was never close. A problem for the Jazz defensively, and maybe a bigger problem for the Jazz offensively. We'll talk about it coming up on Postcast. Postcast is brought to you by the store at 6200 South and 20th East. This game means you need a mudslide cookie.
Or two.
Some guy just sent me a note that said, I tried a mudslide cookie for the first time ever. He didn't say anything else. I guess it's just implied at this point that it's absolutely fabulous.
I wanted you to know he wouldn't try the mudslide. All right. They're good.
Ron and I both think there's a far bigger offensive issue than a defensive issue. We will discuss that in a moment, but we are going to start talking about the defensive issue. In the last two games the Jazz played against the Rockets this year, the Rockets thumped the Jazz. And in those two games, James Harden scored 43 points and took a million free throws, and scored 47 points and took a million free throws, and took a million threes. So the Jazz decided that their goal against Harden was to, one, make him uncomfortable, which I'm not sure they did, two, take away his threes. He took 10. He averages 12. They did a pretty good. Take back his step back three, which they did an okay job of, except for the fact he went 4 of 7 on step back threes. It's a big 7-footer looming over my shoulder over here.
You feel him, huh?
And that's Matt Bullard. As of right now, the only thing that's going to be good about this series is the skiing on Sunday. Can't wait. Snowbird, here we come. So they did those things. Harden only went to the free throw line 3 times, which was one of the fewest he's had in any game all year. And yet, that, I guess, worked. The rest of it really didn't. So let's isolate the Harden plan for a minute. Did the Harden plan work?
Yes and no. I think the Jazz, if they're going to play it the same way, they need another game to work at it, to get better at it. Because I there was a couple of things that I thought they wanted to do that did not get done tonight, and James Harden took advantage of it. I would imagine that James Harden in practice is going to work on his floater, because if the Jazz are going to continue to let him go straight down the middle of the floor and shoot that floater, he's going to take it, and I would imagine he's going to start to make that. Now, they'll take a 2 over 3 from him, probably so. But
James Harden, I think, was, until he hit a step back three, was like 4 of 17 throughout the middle of the game. Like, he actually maybe was uncomfortable. I said he wasn't, but actually in retrospect, maybe he was.
Well, you know, any time they take you out of the norm is what they wanted to do, unless you're Michael Jordan or someone like that, or LeBron James, you're uncomfortable with it for a little bit. But you seem to make an adjustment. And I think James Harden is very good at making adjustments on the fly.
James Harden really was brilliant tonight. Yeah. I mean, he saw what the Jazz were doing. He read it. He hit him on a bunch of corner threes. Then when the corner threes got covered, he hit him on a bunch. I mean, I don't know what you do about James Harden, because the previous game plan the Jazz had against James Harden, he scored 43 and 47. So you can go back to the other game plan and decide that what they did tonight wasn't the right answer. And then you're back in the game where you're trying to guard him straight up. He goes to the free throw line 15, 17 times a night. He takes a bunch of three. I really don't know what you – I mean, this is the best player in the NBA over the last 4 years. He's been 1 or 2 in the MVP voting for 4 straight years. He's just brilliant. So I don't know what you do about that. I guess my answer would be that you refine what you did tonight better, I don't know how.
And that's what I mean by they need another ball game or so if they're going to continue to use it this way, so they can get better at it. You know, once you start watching film and you see your mistakes, now you can work on those things. I mean, you can go out on the floor and don't have to worry about talking about it. You can simulate it and probably get better at it. So if the Jazz are going to continue to use that philosophy, then they're going to have to, you know, do some other things better.
Kevin Wade's frustrated. He says, if our goal was to slow Harden down a tiny bit and allow a billion points in the paint, we did that perfectly. So that's the frustration. 62 points in the paint tonight by the...
Go ahead.
62 points in the paint tonight by the Rockets is a problem. I mean, part of it's the floater game, some of that. But I'm not sure. I would have to go back and look at the box scores. I'm not sure you're not allowing 62 points against the Rockets if you play them the other way, too.
Well, it's amazing, and you're absolutely right about that. But it's amazing how you work on a defensive plan to stop one particular person. And because he is, what, 60% of their offense, 50%, 40%? Not tonight. I mean, there were some other guys that stepped forward and made things miserable for the Jazz. But I don't know what Milwaukee did to him, what the Jazz did tonight. I don't think really – it slowed him down, but I don't think it really worked enough that they might want to try it again. And again, I thought they were better with it when Derek Favors was on the floor.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Favors helped, but then you're allowing the corner three is the problem. So you got to figure out that. And they don't want to leave Eric Gordon in the high quadrant three because he's so good there. I mean, give the Rockets credit. They have built a roster that is perfectly suited for the game style they're playing. They have a dominating player, and they have built their roster around that player, and the pieces fit perfectly. Like, P.J. Tucker is in the corner, and Eric Gordon is in the high quadrant, and you don't want to leave Eric Gordon in the high quadrant, so you got to leave P.J. Tucker, because if you don't, Clint Capela dunks. And that's the game.
And how many times have we heard Mike D'Antoni say, well, I don't worry about James Harden, he'll figure it out.
Right.
You know?
And how many times have we heard Quinn Snyder talk about what an artist he is and how he moves players and gets things figured out. And he got the Jazz on the opening possession of the game. The player that was supposed to come from help didn't actually exist.
Yeah. Well, you know, hopefully, again, the guys got two more days. And usually the second ball game is you hear a lot of people say this, coaches and some of the NBA experts say that second game is usually the one, if you're going to get steal one, it's the second game. So we'll see what happens in the second ball game.
And they hammered us well enough last time that they kind of forgot to come out for game two, so maybe we can get them to do that again for us this time. But the bigger question, I think, on all of this, while the defense can talk about all this about Harden, there may not be an answer defensively. And even if you come up with an answer defensively, this team averages 115 points per 100 possessions. If we have a great defensive game, they're going to be at 107 or 108. Maybe during the regular season we held them to 100, but not in the playoffs. They're going to be at 106, 105. We're well below 100 right now, points per 100 possessions. The Rockets during the regular season held us down more than any team other than Indiana. What is the problem the Jazz are having with trying to score against this team?
Well, first of all, like we've talked about during the broadcast, they switch 1 through 5. And they're not afraid to put Capello out there on an island, having to defend Donovan Mitchell or Ricky Rubio or something like that. And they get it done. They keep the Jazz from turning the corner off screens, and they keep the Jazz on the perimeter. Now when the Jazz get in that short clock, they got to play one-on-one, and the Jazz are not very good one-on-one basketball players.
No, and they kept us in isolation the whole game plan. It's interesting. Early on, it felt like the offensive game plan was actually working. The Jazz had a pretty good run going, and then it kind of just got blown up as the night went on. And maybe the Rockets adjusted. It'll be interesting to go back and rewatch the game to see what took place.
And one of the things that the Jazz wanted to do was they didn't want to play in a hurry, and they wanted spacing. But that third period when the Jazz defense was starting to click in, the early part of the offense was what was scoring for them. They outscored them 27-24, whoop-de-doo. But at least, you know, they were putting some points on the board in that quarter.
Disconcerting notes for you, just to really put you in a full-fledged panic. Kyle Korver gets no shots off in 10 minutes. I don't know that he can get shots off in this series against a switching defense. It's not a series that matches up for him well. Joe Ingles gets 4 shots off in 33 minutes, 1 of 3 from 3, and he really had to force one of them. I'm not sure he gets shots off in this series in the same manner. Jay Crowder, 1 of 7. Tabo Sefolosha, 1 of 4. Those are the shots they're going to give you. Those guys are going to have to make some of them. Donovan Mitchell, 19.7 of 9 shooting. He shot 40% against the Rockets in the regular season, about 34% last year in the playoffs. So it's not a great matchup. We'll see whether Quinn Snyder can find an answer to this. And the other one that I would point out tonight, just because I'm piling on, you know, you lose by 20. There's a lot. You have to rebound. You have to defensive or offensive rebound against the Rockets. They have not lost a game all year long in which their defensive rebounding number was above 80%, and tonight it was at 83%. They are now 17-0 in games in which their defensive rebounding rate is over 80%. All right, Locked On Jazz will have more. I just downloaded the game. I'll rewatch it tomorrow, and that is Postcast. Have a great one. Thank you very much for tuning in, and go have a Mudslide cookie. Andy Hermita has a very good point worth pointing out. we can reduce the 62 points in the paint because then James Harden gets fouled and they're free throw points instead, and they're really the exact same thing. It's a great point. If you classify every Harden free throw as a point in the paint, and he goes out 16 free throws and makes 15 of them or 14 of them, and you only allow 50 points in the paint, it's really the exact same thing. The issue is overall the off defensive rating, though the defensive rating going into the third quarter was a 111, which is pretty good at the end of three quarters. It fell apart early in the fourth, but the game was generally over at that point anyway. All right, have a good one.